Welcome to Ask the CIO, brought to you by Learning Tree International. And now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Cheryl Cook, the Agriculture Department's Chief Information Officer. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Well, I know you've been in place now for well over a year as the acting CIO, but the official title of CIO actually only was bestowed upon you about 5 months ago. So give me a sense, how's that transition been? You do not come from a typical CIO background.
Transition's been interesting. I finally have reached a point where I no longer require folks to email me their PowerPoints a day ahead so I can Google all the darn acronyms. You know, this is largely a vocabulary exercise. The management principles are very much the same. And in my former job as Deputy Undersecretary for USDA's Rural Development Mission Area, I was responsible for making sure that an over $170 billion portfolio of loans and loan guarantees was being properly managed, that the taxpayers were getting their money back. It's not that different when you're talking about managing a portfolio of a little over $2.6 billion in IT investments. Same principles apply. A very diverse set of investments owned by a diverse group of component agency and staff office IT shops.
It's interesting that you're kind of making that connection, management is management, because a lot of CIOs don't have that management background. They come in with the technology background. They were systems engineers or they were coders of some sort. So beyond the vocabulary, is it just a matter of applying well-known, comfortable management principles?
I don't want to suggest there hasn't been a learning curve, because boy, there has. Absolutely. I have loved every minute of the last year getting to understand the IT world a little more. I've been an aggressive user of IT through my career, but I'm getting a peek behind the curtain, if you will, and that's been kind of fun for me. But I think in some ways it's an advantage that I don't have a history in the IT world. I have no bad habits to unlearn, no favorites in technology or brand or company that would lead me down one direction or another. It's purely what's in the best interest of helping USDA deliver its many missions.
Let's talk a little bit more about your background, too. So how long have you been at USDA? You mentioned your previous job before becoming CIO. Where else have you worked in or out of government?
I've been in and around USDA for much of my career. I started as a lobbyist with the National Farmers Union in the midst of the farm crisis of the 1980s, trying to help family farmers navigate some USDA programs and stay on the land and in their rural communities. I had the privilege of serving as the Pennsylvania State Director for USDA Rural Development during the Clinton administration. So I bring, 8 years of experience in the field, actually boots on the ground trying to deliver some of these programs, which has been enormously helpful to me, not just as a Deputy Undersecretary for that same part of the department, but in my current job as CIO.
A lot of people were probably wondering right now, you went from lobbyist to government employee versus the other way around. Any reason why? What pulled you into government service?
I'm by training a lawyer. And, as I said, this was the mid-80s and farmers were in crisis. And it was just inconceivable to me that I kept meeting farmers who were at or near the point of bankruptcy. You might recall in those days, Congress actually gave family farmers their very own chapter of the bankruptcy code. And there just seemed to be something systemic that was really going on. And the opportunity to work as a lobbyist on some of the federal policy issues that were driving people into seeing me for bankruptcy advice was highly motivating.
Very cool. I think that's something you don't hear very often of that reverse door. And it's good because now you've changed again in many ways to be CIO, which is a whole different viewpoint of those same problems from a technology perspective.
And much of the time in between the Clinton administration and the Obama administration, I was working for Governor Ed Rendell as the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's Deputy Secretary of Agriculture for Marketing and Economic Development. And in that position, I had cooperative agreements with half a dozen or more other USDA agencies besides the rural development side of the house. So I got to be, part of that program delivery for everybody from ag statistics to food safety inspectors, wildlife inspectors. We did 250,000 avian flu surveillance tests a year in conjunction with the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. So I've been in and around a lot of USDA and seen how we actually do what we do.
That actually makes your role as the CIO maybe even better. Not just qualified, but understanding what happens in the field. Now, how can the technology come in?
Technology is a tool. At the end of the day, it is not something we do for its own sake. It's something that helps us deliver the mission. And thinking about rural development, because I just have those numbers in my head, we're at about a third the total staff complement that we were when I started with USDA in 1993. Rural development's in about a quarter of the office locations that they had in 1993. And the only reason they're able to function is that technology has helped to bridge that gap. And there's a long way to go, don't get me wrong. But technology has increasingly played a role in making sure that programs could still be delivered.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into some of those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Cheryl Cook, the Agriculture Department's Chief Information Officer.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. LearningTree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. LearningTree is on GSA IT 70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. Save even more with LearningTree's 50% off select IT and management courses each week. Simply visit their website today at learningtree.com/CIO. And even better news for the Beltways, save on travel costs and commuting time by attending live, hands-on, instructor-led courses at one of 10 LearningTree centers conveniently located around the Washington area in Columbia Fulton, Manassas, Stafford Quantico, D.C. Metro Center, and more. Helping you achieve your agency's mission is LearningTree's number one priority. Act now to get 50% tuition savings. Go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Cheryl Cook, the Agriculture Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Cheryl, before break, we were talking a lot about your role, your transition to becoming CIO. The last time I had the USDA CIO on my show was probably 2010, so almost 3 years ago. Give me a sense. I want to catch up on some of those old priorities, starting with, at the time, the CIO's office was going through a reorganization. It seems to me you're also now looking at that same reorganization. So what are you looking at and how are you changing the makeup of your office?
We are doing a little bit of reorganizing. I've added a second deputy. The secretary has added a deputy for me for policy and planning so that we can not just keep the train running on time, but actually get a chance to run ahead and lay some new track for the future.
Is this Joyce Hunter?
Joyce Hunter is our policy and planning deputy. Right. Charles McClam is our operations infrastructure deputy, the guy who keeps the train running.
Right. Does that mean with a new policy and planning person, there's staff underneath her, or maybe have switched over from doing operational or doing some other kind of work that is no longer needed? How's the change kind of on the lower levels?
Adding the second deputy for policy and planning is giving us some additional focus in areas that have been perhaps somewhat overlooked in the recent years just because of the crush of keeping the train running on time with operating the data center and operating the end user support unit and all of the day-to-day things. We have some policies that need to be updated. The world is changing. You know, we haven't had a mobile device policy since iPads were invented, for example, so we've been digging hard into mobile devices. We have work to do in our governance arena. Part of that commonality with this job and my old job is portfolio management, and that begins with understanding what's in your portfolio. And with the new deputy on board, we were able to organize meetings with each of our 17 agencies and 10 staff offices. We've reviewed every single one of our 301 IT investments, looking for synergy, looking for duplication of effort, looking for ways that we can better manage the portfolio. And being able to focus on that, I think, is important and a major part of what our new deputy is doing.
So I got to ask, what'd you find when you look through 301 IT investments?
I think we all need to focus on making the best use of available IT dollars. It's, for many of our agencies, a fairly significant portion of their disposable income now is going to their IT shop. So we want to make sure we're doing the best we can. And we found duplication of effort as we knew we would. For example, across the Department of Agriculture, we've got 42 geospatial investments. It's not that surprising if you think about our agencies like the U.S. Forest Service or the Natural Resources Conservation Service would have a big, you know, footprint in GIS. But it turns out that almost every agency in USDA has a fairly significant GIS presence. And we want to make sure that we're building standards and policies around that so that we don't stub our toe in being able to share that kind of information and produce multi-agency maps and geospatial products that advance the cause.
Now, have you set up kind of a geospatial committee within USDA to kind of deal with those standards and policies, but also to ensure that there is communication around, hey, are you collecting that data? Hey, we were about to do that. Can we just use your data now? That type of
you know, and sometimes it's as simple as which version of what software are you all using as you're building these tools? Can we get on the same thing so that we can share information and data? But yes, to answer your question, and one of the things we're looking at in our reorganization is whether and where best to put a geospatial center of excellence so that we pick the best of the best from around those 42 that we already have, and then the vision for the future and roll all that into a service organization for the agencies.
Do you have any kind of time frame where you'd like to set that center of excellence up by?
Any time in the next 5 minutes would be fine.
Well, you'll be here for a little while longer. So besides that, maybe are you looking at the fall and the winter?
Certainly within the next fiscal year, we want to get the thing up and running. And it matters not to me whether that's something that lives in my house or if it lives in one of the agencies that naturally has a big presence here. The important thing is that we get started and that we share the information.
And I think that's part of the goal of that idea of shared services is wherever it lives, but make sure it's getting done so therefore people can save money and go forward. From an IT investment perspective, are there other investment areas that you're looking at? You've already done email.
We're about to award our second cloud email contract. It's been that long.
Oh, wow. So kind of a follow-up. And when's that going to happen? Because that's the next question.
It's another one of those anytime in the next 5 minutes would be fine.
Okay. All right. Well, we will look out for that because that's going to be interesting news, even if it goes obviously to the incumbent. But other areas of follow-up, are you finding duplication, whether it's in some mission areas or mostly back office type stuff?
USDA is an interesting hybrid in that really for the last decade, the field-based service center agencies, rural development, the Farm Service Agency, and the Natural Resources Conservation Service, because they are required by law to co-locate at the field level, have had a shared infrastructure, the single network, for example, a single source of end user support, and that got merged and put under my office in 2004. So for the last decade, we've been a direct service provider for some of these truly administrative back office infrastructure kind of functions. And so we're looking hard at whether we can expand that and begin to provide that service to other agencies across USDA who are having to do that for themselves. We simply can't afford to do things 20 times over across all of the CIOs and all of the agencies and staff offices in the department. So we're taking full aim at those administrative infrastructure network, getting to an enterprise active directory so that we're more easily able to turn on our use of HSPD-12 PIV cards, making sure that we're as secure as we can be with shared investments in cybersecurity tools. All of those things are on the table.
Let me back up as a potential shared service provider for other agencies. Now, under obviously the FedRAMP program, your National Information Technology Center received FedRAMP approval from an agency level.
Right. Our enterprise data center is FedRAMP.
So is that part of this idea of maybe sharing with other agencies, or is that something separate that's only internal to USDA?
It's a very entrepreneurial group, which is great. I love it. My group out at NHTSA is, I would put them up against anybody, and the fact that we were the first ones to get in the federal family anyway to get FedRAMP certification, I think speaks to the entrepreneurial spirit. But we're reaching out to other federal agencies, trying to expand those services across the federal space. But as well, as I mentioned earlier, a number of USDA's agencies have their boots on the ground through cooperative agreements with state government, and in particular, state departments of agriculture. So part of our outreach strategy is to reach out to other levels of government where the idea of data center consolidation and even investments in data security maybe aren't as mature as they are at the federal level. As we continue to do that, we share then our fixed costs across more users, and that lets us bring our prices down to our USDA customers, which is important in these times.
There's also this push coming from OMB around shared services, which I know the National Finance Center, which also falls under mm-hmm. USDA, is already providing HR, they're already providing financial management and payroll. So I imagine that there's going to be more in that relation, whether it's NFC or NHTSA or whomever else.
I think we're clearly heading to a day where you're either a buyer or a seller of services. And so one of the things we've been talking about is what are those things that we're really, really good at that we should be a seller, and where are those areas where we're better off being a buyer. USDA was one of the first to go into managed services contracts for our network support. Our network backbone, our UTN backbone is serviced for us by AT&T as a managed service. So there are opportunities for us in both directions.
All right, something to look forward to, I think, as things progress. Another priority at the time when we spoke 3 years ago with the CIO of the USDA at the time was the idea of unified communications across the department. That included obviously cloud email, which mm-hmm. we've talked about a little bit, but web and video meetings, VoIP, chat, other tools. What is the status of that? Now, is that all related to that cloud email, or has that been a separate program that kind of hooks into the cloud email?
The chat capability was baked into the email contract. We're using Microsoft Communicator under original cloud email contract. That was part of the deal. VoIP, frankly, we're, as we speak, I think, trying to make sure we understand the full requirements of all the agencies. We have a tendency to just deal with what we know and not get as far out as we need to with every agency because USDA is so different across the entire landscape, to make sure we're meeting everybody's needs before we go a single direction on VoIP.
And I know from experience, we're talking with people with VoIP, some people love it, but then they talk about some complaints such as the delay or the static, even though there's a lot of good things about it, it's definitely not foolproof.
There are no silver bullets, you know, and even just making sure we have the network bandwidth to support all of that additional traffic has been a focal point for us over the last, well, during this calendar year.
Yeah, very much the bandwidth issue is, again, another issue has come up. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more about your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Cheryl Cook, the USDA Chief Information Officer.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. LearningTree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. LearningTree is on both GSA IT-70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. Save even more with LearningTree's 50% off select IT and management courses each week. Simply visit their website today at learningtree.com/CIO. And even better news for the Beltways, save on travel costs and commuting time by attending live hands-on instructor-led courses at one of 10 LearningTree centers conveniently located around the Washington area in Columbia, Fulton, Manassas, Stafford, Quantico, D.C. Metro Center, and more. Helping you achieve your agency's mission is LearningTree's number one priority. Act now to get 50% tuition savings. Go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Cheryl Cook, the Agriculture Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Cheryl, before break, we were talking a lot about some older priorities, and we kind of morphed into some new priorities when we talked about cloud email and things like that, and a slight reorg within your office. One of the other priorities at the time that I talked to the CIO in 2010 was really focused on mission-critical systems, the MITRE system, the web supply chain management, and the comprehensive loan program, all systems that were being either upgraded or changed or moved in some way. Give us an update on those projects and any other mission ones that maybe you're working on now.
Last year, USDA celebrated its 150th anniversary, and so we have a lot of really old systems as a result of that. Almost every agency in USDA has some kind of a modernization effort.
Is that COBOL back 150 years ago?
Well, yeah, you know, it was monks and a tablet and a chisel, I'm pretty sure. You know, just thinking back to my own days in rural development, a lot of the tried and true loan systems that are still working, thank goodness, are COBOL. They're sitting on a mainframe and they're ridiculously expensive to maintain, but they still work. So, you know, the comprehensive loan program, which is rural development's modernization program, is still scratching for every dollar they can get, but they're incrementally making progress. Most of that progress happened in 2009 and 2010 when there was some additional funding from the Recovery Act, but they're doing the best they can with the money they have. MITIS, the Modernization and Innovation for the Delivery of Agricultural Services, is the primary modernization tool for the Farm Service Agency. The first release of that went out in April this year to the field, so we're now kind of regrouping and figuring out what comes next. And there's a number of functionalities that were originally projected back in 2006, 2007, when the project plan was first being put together, that we know now in today's budget environment can't be done. So what's next? You know, we're looking at things like a web portal to allow farmers and ranchers to get access to their own information and not just download forms, but actually be able to apply for programs online. We're looking at acreage reporting tools that would allow producers or their equipment even to report in what kind of planting history or what kind of yield history they're getting that year without having to necessarily travel to the county office to report that information. So they're still going forward.
Let me jump in real quick. Sure. Is there any thought to relook at MITIS and say the plan that was done 7 years ago obviously has changed? There's no cloud, mobile, and just re-update it, or has that been done several times?
We're in the midst of that right now. We're doing what's called rebaselining, which is, you know, taking that pause and taking another look at whether the things we said back in 2006 and 2007 really still apply today. With technology changing the way it has, the decision was made to build MITIS in an SAP product. And at the time, we had no idea that SAP was going to come up with their HANA application that adds all kind of new possibilities that just were not anticipated in 2006 and 2007. So this is the right time now that the first release is out. The field is getting used to using a new system. Farmers and ranchers are getting used to the new way of doing business. This is the right time to just take a pause. The Natural Resources Conservation Service has their conservation delivery streamlining initiative, very similar concept. In their case, they're leaning heavily on mobility and getting their district conservationists back out literally in the field, you know, working with farmers and ranchers and on their conservation practices on working lands and not sitting in the office processing paperwork. Very much still a focus for them, as for other agencies, to get into mobility and making our staff more mobile than they are today, getting back to where we used to be. And if you think about our 150-year history, a lot of that began with researchers who were literally walking the globe, bringing back leaf samples and tissue samples and collecting information that is the foundation of much of the research that's been done in agriculture and in plants over the last 150 years of the department's history. Even agencies like rural development, most of the New Deal agencies, we used to be more mobile than we are today. Rural Utilities Service, which used to be the Rural Electrification Administration, all the way back in the 1930s, had field staff who are still out there today, and I don't know that they're the same people necessarily, but based out of their homes, and in the 1930s and 40s, would leave the home for the day, and in their briefcase there was maybe a slide rule and a box of sharply, you know, honed number two pencils, go off and do their jobs at the rural electric cooperatives, and then mail all of the paperwork to Washington, D.C. Now, the question is, can we make them as mobile as they were in 1937, but still do what they need to do right there on the spot and not have to mail things off to another location?
So the post office, who are in need of some money, could probably appreciate if you would mail a little bit more often. A lot of tons of stuff going on, so I think stuff will follow back up with you in the coming year.
Sure,
and do a check-in. Let's talk about your new priorities. You did give us a preview of some of them, and between the email contract, between the portfolio management work. What are some of the things you're trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
There's a lot of things we're trying to get done over the next 6 to 9 months. Among them, you know, continuing to evolve our governance process and continuing to increase the role or the collaboration between my office at the department level and the CIOs at the component agency and staff office levels. Our CIO council is very active now. They've really taken on ownership. They're working very hard at helping us outline what the future looks like for USDA. And in fact, we're doing a full day offsite with them next week to talk about what our shared priorities are over the next year or so. And highly featured in that is going to be a discussion on workforce. As we've done more consolidation of these administrative infrastructure type functions, we've done, you know, some networking. We've done some with, say, Tier 1 help desk is another area that we've done some consolidation in. I'm afraid we're starting to leave little puddles of our talent pool stranded around the department, people who got up every day to provide Tier 1 help desk support and no longer will need to do that, need to do something. We want people to feel like they still have a career opportunity at USDA. We want good employees to stay engaged and remain good employees with USDA for a long time. So even as we're shifting away from some areas that traditionally have been done agency by agency by agency by agency, at the same time, we're looking at things like mobile enabling web pages that we're having to contract out because we don't have a lot of those skills in-house. Not a perfect fit, obviously, but there's got to be some way to plan how you get from point A to point B and get the skills that we need to the people who we have on board, be able to recruit people with those skills in the future. So workforce planning, workforce development is one of our highest priorities over the next couple of years. We need a path forward, and we've been challenged by the Office of Personnel Management to begin that journey for the cybersecurity staff. We're going to use that as a model for other aspects of the IT staffing and really make workforce planning one of our features.
Did you guys have to go through, from a workforce perspective on the IT side, hiring freezes or furloughs or anything like that because of sequestration and other budget cuts? Or has it just been like a lot of federal agencies are facing the grain of the workforce? People are retiring, and as you kind of fill in the holes, there's a knowledge management transfer, there's that whole succession planning.
See, both of the above. we do have an older workforce, what we're seeing is that, at least for the first few years of this administration, when the economy was really struggling, people who were eligible to retire didn't, because, you know, there weren't those other job opportunities to take off and do those contracting opportunities, things people are used to doing when they're not a federal employee anymore. Those kinds of opportunities were somewhat lacking. What we're seeing now as the economy is picking up, though, is that people are, in fact, starting to retire. And with continued budget pressure, we've offered voluntary separation incentives in many of USDA's agencies, and the IT staff have been included in those, with certain exceptions around cybersecurity. as well, though, you know, people are shifting and moving and the workforce needs are shifting and moving. And so it's just naturally getting ready for the future. We need a workforce that recognizes some of the things that are already happening, for example, in the Economic Research Service, where we have an economist who's running a database that drives an interactive food desert atlas. All right, you need to be a database administrator. You need to be an economist. You need a diverse set of skills, a blended set of skills that we just haven't been recruiting for and haven't figured out how to go find.
When you talk about other priorities, the workforce is a big one. What other things are you trying to accomplish?
Mobility is one of those areas where all of the agencies are focused. So we have established a mobile management council so that we can attempt to do this one time with everybody's needs taken into account. We have a department-wide mobile device management, mobile application management strategy now that I hope will bear fruit and save us all money over the long term, even as we all go out together, recognizing that in many cases our customers are trying to deal with more than one USDA agency at a time.
And from a mobile strategy perspective, does that include bring your own device, or you're not quite there yet?
We're not quite there yet on bring our own device. I am one of those quirky people who prefers to drag my own 2-pound netbook around rather than the 10-pound, you know, government-issued laptop, but I also bring my own Wi-Fi hotspot with me because that is the luck I have. I would be the knucklehead who put my own device on the USDA network and made something bad happen. I don't see us ever getting to a day where we're requiring BYOD. It's more a matter of how do you accommodate somebody who prefers their own cell phone, and that's really the issue at this point is cell phones and tablets. We're just not quite there yet.
So as you develop that MDM and MDA strategy, will BYOD play a role in that?
It will have to. Do I think the industry is even starting to pick up the game? Because obviously the biggest issue here is security and making sure that the network stays safe and the data in the network stays safe. And I think industry will help us over the next couple of years by improving what's available to employees who maybe aren't thinking about security as one of their top considerations when they're making a buying decision. But there are other technologies that we're looking at as well. The PC on a stick, the thumb drive that helps you to compartmentalize the government's information from the rest of, you know, your family photos and Aunt Sally's recipe for beef stroganoff or whatever that you wouldn't want to accidentally wipe if they lost the device and you're going through your single mobile device management contractor and you suddenly wipe off everybody's
personal information,
right? I mean, there's just so many challenges to this thing. However, we are just about to issue a new departmental regulation on mobile devices from the government furnished standpoint, so that we get some commonality of approach and can take off in this new direction as streamlined and efficiently as we can.
Cheryl Cook, you are the USDA Chief Information Officer. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. This was fun.
You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Tune in next week, 10:30 AM on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This show has been brought to you by Learning Tree International. If you missed any portion of this show, you can hear it in its entirety on demand at federalnewsradio.com.